morning. Take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 12. I'm going to read from verse 35 to verse 42. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, the wisdom that's in it, the blessing that's in it. Help us, Lord, this day to understand what you've got to say here. And Lord, draw us close to you. Bring a revival in our hearts. Draw us, Lord, to your will and to your way. Help us by faith to trust you. Touch every heart and life that's in this room or that's in the sound of my voice. And oh God, have mercy. We thank you for everything that you've done. Give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. And I ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Interesting passage that we have here. Look at verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. How many signs do you need? Can you ever get enough signs? I don't think you can. I've heard people, they put out signs for God, and God answers them, and they put out the sign again, and then God answers them, and they put out the sign again. You've got examples of it, even the prophets in the Bible, you know. If you're looking for signs, and by the way, signs aren't for Christians, they were for the Jews.
Amen.
If you're looking for a sign now as a Christian church that such and such is going to happen, you just might be disappointed. The signs were for the Jew. The Gentile was supposed to trust God by faith. Didn't have to have signs. And I personally have a problem with signs. Sometimes I don't know what they are. I don't know whether I'm interpreting them right. Is that what that means? You know? They said, hey, preacher, you're supposed to be somebody special. We want to see a sign. How many people that they could see who were raised from the dead? Already. How many lepers had been healed? Already. You need a better sign than a leper being healed? You need a better sign than him walking into a funeral and touching the casket, the bier? And the man rises up and they take him home. How many signs do you need? Blind men, blind from their birth, and they see. These people have been seeing signs. And they say, sir, we need a sign from you. I want you to notice a very interesting passage. Verse 39. But he answered and said unto them, an evil an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. He didn't say spiritual men are looking for signs.
He said it's an evil and an adulterous generation that's looking for signs here.
And there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Verse 40. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now think for a minute with me. Just a couple of things I'd like to say. A lot of people have a real problem with the book of Jonah. Jonah is a fantastic little story. He hits us grown, fully grown. He says we taught he's a prophet. But we don't know any of the prophecies that he made before we ever hear him in the book of Jonah. And then, when it's finished, he's a very discouraged, disappointed, angry, stubborn man. This prophet of God is a stubborn man. And God says, you don't have a right to be this mad. He said, I do. He's still sticking his fist in the face of God. Now, you may not hear much about Jonah, but a lot of people love to criticize the story, Jonah swallowed by a whale. And they say, well, the book of Jonah says big fish. And it does say big fish. Do you think a whale is a big fish? I think a whale is a big fish. Isn't it amazing that he makes a statement and uses this as the sign? You want a sign? I'm going to give you a sign. The only sign you're going to get is the sign of Jonas. As Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. Do you know who says it's a whale? Jesus in the New Testament. Somebody said, no, whale's got this little small throat and you couldn't get in there like it. No, God had an apartment prepared. He had an apartment prepared in that big whale, and he had a great big mouth, a great big throat. He was not a normal whale. God prepared a great fish for Jonah. But we get whalery. If you just read, I tell you all the time, just what does it say? I know you maybe get tired of hearing me say that. What does it say? If you pay attention to what it says, it'll solve a lot of your reasonings, a lot of your problems. Now, there's another thing here. 3 days and three nights. What happened to Good Friday? Jesus could not have been crucified on Friday. You say, oh, no, you got a little bit of day Friday and a little bit of day all day Saturday and then a little bit of day Sunday morning. That's only two nights. It may be good Wednesday or it may be good Thursday. You can fight that out among yourselves. I really don't care. I know from what he said, he was three nights in the grave. And Good Friday is nothing more but the tradition stepped out of the Catholic Church, went into the Lutherans and the Methodists and the Baptists and everybody. And everybody celebrates and doesn't even care. I care because of what it says. So shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights, and that's the sign of the prophet Jonah. Now think with me another way. Jesus is using Jonah here. And the only sign he's given, do you know what the apostles did when they went out after the resurrection of Jesus Christ and preached in all those synagogues and went all over the world? You know what they did? They went and preached he's alive. They preached he was alive. Not that he died. He really died. But he's alive. Remember what Paul's problem? He got sent to Rome because the Jewish men were bringing him up before these kings and they said Jesus is dead and Paul affirms he's alive. What is their message? The resurrection. What did it do? It proves Jesus Christ is who he said he was. It proves he fulfilled the prophecies of the Word of God. It proved he's the Son of God that could save the people of the world. And it's the only sign he's going to give them. You want a bunch of signs? They had sign after sign. All they had to do was follow Jesus. Some blind man, some leper, some dead body, somebody would come up to Jesus Christ
And they were multitudes of healings. When John the Baptist got a little discouraged in prison, he sent one of his brothers to go to Jesus and say, "Are you the one that should come?" And he said, "The blind receive the sight, the dead are raised to life." Well, what are you looking for? How much more can you get? You had plenty of signs. But I'll give you a sign. Sign of the prophet Jonas. Now, Jonas is an interesting man. Did you know that his tomb was blown up by ISIS in 2014? Jonas was buried in Iraq, where he preached in Nineveh. You ever thought about that? You know how big that city was? Look at the end. Well, I make you turn to it. You can look at the end. You can look at the last chapter of the book of Jonah. There's only four little chapters. And it'll tell you that this city, Nineveh, was 3 days' walk to get across it. I think you could about walk across San Antonio in 3 days. It's a big city. You know what it also said? It says it had, this city was so big, it had 120,000 that didn't know their left hand from their right hand. That's children. Your kids don't know left from right. I got in the military with some guys growing up that didn't know left from right. But the truth is, what he's talking about is children. It's a great city. And what's it called? Nineveh, that great city. Now, what's the problem with Jonah? He's prejudiced. Wait a minute. He's a prophet. This is not his first campaign. This guy had been a prophet. I don't know his message before. We don't know much about him. We don't know a lot about him when he was last. But he was buried in Nineveh. Maybe he stayed there. I don't know. It doesn't tell us. But the Iraq, in Iraq, they had the tomb where these Ninevites, when Jonah died, they buried him there and they raised a memorial above him, and he stood there till 2014. Isn't that amazing? That is amazing. Now, thinking about that and thinking about Jonah, you talk about a hard head. You talk about a stubborn preacher. You think I'm bad. Jonah was something else. God says, "Jonah, first thing you find, Jonah, go down there and preach to Nineveh." And God said, and Jonah thought in his head, said, "God is going to have mercy upon them, and I don't want that to happen. I don't want that fish-worshipping bunch of devils to live long enough to hurt Israel." He was a prophet. He knew what things were going on. And he does not want to go down. He said, "Because you're a merciful God, and I'm just afraid you'll have mercy on them, and I don't want them to have mercy." I think Jonah is the greatest evangelist in history. That's my opinion. The greatest evangelist in history. Why? He goes into this city when God finally gets through with him. He's probably got scars on him, wee seaweed still hanging out of his head. And he walks through the city and he begins to proclaim, "God's going to destroy this city in 40 days. That's a month of 10 days, kids. 40 days, God's going to destroy this city. You know what they did? They repented. They sought God. The king put on sackcloth. He prepared a fast. He said, "Don't even let the animals eat on this fast. Peradventure, God would have mercy." And he would turn. Wow. And the whole city got converted. And this is in my head from my reading years ago. I believe Nineveh was saved from destruction for 167 years. I could be wrong, because since I'm getting old, some of my memory is not exactly right. But you can check it out. When did Nineveh fall? When did Jonah go there? What a tremendous revival meeting. And God turned. And God had mercy. And just in 2014 in Iraq, ISIS
blew that grave to pieces. They hated it. They hated it.
Now think about it. 3 days and three nights. He's the great prophet. Well, he says another thing here. He said, for as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now what happened was that Jesus was 3 days and three nights in the grave. And you remember when the disciples first came and Mary came over there and went to the grave. I don't know if she was going to anoint the body or take care of things. You know, some people have just a concern on stuff like that. And all of a sudden, he's not there. They got an empty tomb. And she turns around and runs. Back and tells the apostles. They don't believe her. No, no. Crazy woman. They don't believe her. And Peter and John run, and John, the younger man, runs faster, and Peter, the older fellow, come in a little bit later. They walk into the grave, and sure enough, he's not there. Spurgeon had a great sermon on "They have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've laid him." Talking about compromise and the gospel and the word of God and whatever. Now, they want to see a sign. They got the sign of the prophet Jonah. Now look at Matthew 12:41. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. Now Billy was talking about the judgment this morning. It's one of the things that you ought to know. There is going to be a judgment, and justice will be taken care of before God. You may not get it in this life. His life may not be fair to you. I thank God every day I was born where I was born, when I was born, who I was born to, and where I'm at. If you realize that all the peoples of the world, what they've had, the poverty they've had, the abuse they've had, the problems that they faced, I don't face many problems like it. You think you want to go back and be a cowboy? You think you want to go back and be a gold miner? You realize these people had a hard, hard life, and they didn't live that long, most of them. Most of the soldiers in the Revolutionary War against England were young men. Some of them 12 and 13 years old. I think Andrew Jackson was probably 13 years old when he got the scar on his face in the Revolutionary War. They didn't have an easy life. You got a pretty easy life. I don't know what Solomon would have paid for my 225 horses I got in my car. But I'll bet you the way he liked fast horses and fast chariots, I'll bet you Solomon would have given me gold and silver for that old car out there. Wow. You know what it said? It said, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation. Hey, things don't always go right here, as Billy was teaching us this morning. But let me tell you where they're going to go right. At the judgment of God. At the judgment of God. You may not get justice down here. You may not even have a very happy life down here. But there's coming a day when God is going to judge the world. And he says, what he's saying right here is, he's going to raise these guys that repented in Nineveh up in the judgment with you. And he said, they're going to condemn you. Why? They repented at the preaching of Jonas. And there's a little statement, and this is really the gist of my sermon. A greater than Jonas is here. They're not listening to him. They're making fun of him. They're trying to shut him up. They're doing their best to cut him off. They hate him with a passion. They want to kill him. Some of them plan on killing him. And the greatest evangelist in the Bible, he's compared to, but Jesus is greater. Did you know that Jesus is greater?
Amen.
Now, when the judgment comes, and these guys from Nineveh, fish-worshipping city, huge city,
wickedness in. The Bible describes it as a very wicked place. They repented of their sins, they changed their ways, and that generation lived. They didn't get destroyed in 40 days. Wow! They heard the message from Jonah.
God tells Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. He says, no, I'm going to Joppa. And he gets down there and gets on a ship. And as I look at the maps, Tarshish is about like Spain and Portugal across the whole sea.
He's got that boat. He's run as far as he can get away from Nineveh.
And the troubles. God raises a storm. You ever thought that some of the storms in your life, God raised them because he wanted to get your attention? He does. He uses tribulation. He uses trouble. He even uses the heathen. They call the heathen God's army. God's army. He's talking about people that didn't even worship him. But he used them to chastise Israel. Jonah is out on that sea and God, he says, God brings the storm. We got experienced sailors and, oh, they're sweating. It's not like you and me landlubbers and the waves get a little high. No, no, these are guys that lived their lives on those boats and they're crying out to their God, whatever gods they had. And Jonah is asleep. And they go down and they get him and they bring him up and said, man, why aren't you calling on God? He tells them, false mind. You know what he's doing? He's committing suicide. He's exactly... You talk about a stubborn man. Can God use you? If he could use Jonah, he could use you. Amen? You're not near stubborn as Jonah. Not on your life. He said, throw me in the water. All your problems will be taken care of. And they did. They did their best, but they couldn't do it. They said, okay, Lord, forgive us. They threw Jonah in. And he says, God had prepared a great fish. Well, that great fish would... And Jonah's got seaweed wrapped around his head. And he says, I went down into the depths of hell. You don't know how deep that fish went, but he felt like he might have been dead. I don't know. It could have been a resurrection, really. He's 3 days and he's 3 nights. And that was finally enough. What will God have to do to you to get you to obey him? What will God have to do to you, put you through to humble yourself? When are you going to listen to what God says? When are you going to recognize he is greater?
Amen.
He is greater. Jonah repented and called upon the Lord. And he just went up there and told the fish, vomit. Boom, right on the land. There he is. I don't know what sort of scars those gastric juices left on him. I don't know what he looked like when he went preaching down the streets of Nineveh. But at any rate, he might not have done anything. He might have just been normal, you know, and they didn't know anything different. Jonah had a pretty great confidence in his preaching. He says, if I go down there, you're going to have mercy on them. He didn't want to have mercy. Did you ever hear of evangelists like that? I'm going to preach, but I don't want you to get saved. He said, I thought God's going to destroy you. God's going to destroy you. And they said, oh, and they fall down and repent. I would love to see a service like that. I've never seen one. Never. Never in my life. I'm not that good a preacher. Wow. The whole great city repented. The king repented, put himself in ashes, covered himself with sackcloth, just sackcloth, not nice stuff. Put the ashes on the top of his head, cried mightily to God, maybe he'll have mercy. And they cried mightily to God, and God had mercy. And they had a tremendous revival. And of course, even today, Jonah is recognized as saving the country. Now think about this a minute. Those men from Nineveh who repented, they weren't Bible believers. They weren't Jews. They didn't know a whole lot. But you know what they did? They believed the messenger when he came, and they believed in God. They're going to rise up in judgment with this generation that Jesus is preaching to. Reckon they will be in judgment when he's judging you?
But he says, with this generation here, you're going to be judged with the men of Nineveh.
How about all those people, those Pharisees and scribes and whatever that watched Jesus perform miracles that they wouldn't believe? They're going to be judged with the men of Nineveh. Well, what's Nineveh going to do? It's going to condemn all of them that didn't believe.
And he makes another statement. Interesting statement. Says in verse 42, the queen of the south, that's the queen of Sheba. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation. God is telling you the future. You see it? Can you read it? He said, the queen of the south is going to rise up in the judgment with you. And that's talking about the people that were there. And shall condemn it. How will they condemn it? Because she went from a great long journey that cost a great deal of money and trouble and trial to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Wow. Uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Wow. Take a look back at verse 6 of this chapter, chapter 12. They were having a controversy with Jesus. His disciples were eating grain on the Sabbath day, which they just pulled off of plants as they walked through a field. And they criticized him for it. He used David as an example, but then he makes this statement. Verse 6, I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. All right. We've got a comparison of Jesus to the temple. Now, what is the temple? It's the house of God. It's where your sacrifice that had to be given. Did you know that the Jews, even those that are believers today, don't have a place to give a sacrifice? That's because the temple's been destroyed. God set one place aside on the earth. They're going to build my house right there. That's where the sacrifice is going to be. In 70 A.D., Titus, Roman General Titus, took his army through there and burned and tore down everything that's there. All that's left is a little bit of a wall. They call it the praying wall. And Jews walk up to that little bitty wall and they stick their prayers in it and whatever. How about a greater than the temple? Now, there were different arguments, and they're in the Bible. You can read them in the New Testament. There are different arguments. Does the gold get better if it's placed in the temple or if you give it certain ways? And is it the temple or is it the gold? Jesus says, of course it's the temple. It's not the gold. It's the temple that sanctifies the gold. This is the holiest place on planet Earth in His day. The house of God, where you meet God. And Jesus said, there's one greater than the temple. All right, now we got three statements. Now, I don't know where they're... Let me go to 1 Kings 10. Look with me in 1 Kings 10. I'm going to read about four verses. Chapter 1, 1 Kings 10, 1. It's on page 487 in my book. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. Look at verse 4. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom and the house of God and the meat of his table, verse 6, she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes have seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants. Look at verse 9. Blessed be the Lord God which delighteth in ye. Verse 10. She gave the king 120 talents of gold, spices of great store, precious stones.
Wow. What is the message of this little chapter 12? Well, Jesus is greater than the temple. Have you got that down? Jesus is greater than the temple. Jesus is greater than Solomon. The wisest man of the earth. He's wise. It was amazing some of the things he did. And he was known, and maybe he's wiser than anybody's alive today. I don't know. Jesus is greater than Solomon. The greatest evangelist and evangelistic campaign, the most successful, is by this prophet Jonah. But Jesus is greater than Jonah. Look, if you will, at John chapter 4. Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. She goes out to gain some water, and Jesus gets her into a conversation, and she becomes convinced. And here it is, verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob? Yes. Yes. Are you greater than Abraham? Yes. Are you greater than Moses? Yes. Who's greatest of all? That's right. He said in verse 14, Whosoever drinketh this water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water shall I give him that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Verse 12, Art thou greater than our father Jacob? Jesus tells her, I'm he. Messiah, when the Messiah comes, it's said that he'll tell us all things. Jesus said, I am he. Now think with me just a little bit. One greater than the temple. One greater than Jonah. Greater than Solomon. Who do you rank high? Who do you rank high? Do you really think you know how to raise kids better than God? You do. Oh yeah, you can be so a little pious with me, but you don't trust God. You don't believe what He says. You think it's outdated. Your nation thinks it's outdated. Some of your new laws think it's outdated. I have even heard of government officials telling people who are caring for little children, you cannot tell them no. Can you imagine? If you don't learn no for the very first thing in your life, you're never going to get smart. Wow. I look out at the world, and I see a lot of people that give lip service to the Bible, but they don't believe what it says. They give lip service to the Bible. They say, well, I believe the King James Bible. But then, I don't believe that. I don't accept that. Who do you follow? You. What is our biggest problem? You follow you.
Amen.
You know what the problem of Jonah was? He did not want to do what God wanted him to do. Have you ever thought you might be in that situation this morning? You don't want to do what God wants you to do. You don't want to believe what God tells you to believe. You don't want to stand against somebody that denies what God says. You don't want any controversy. You want trouble. You want at ease. You won't have to be comfortable. You're afraid to trust Christ. You're afraid to put it on the line for Him. And you're afraid to believe His words. Why? He's greater than the temple. He's greater than Jonah. He's greater than Solomon. He that cometh from heaven is above all. He is. Now, all of us have a problem. We've got a controversy with God.
Amen.
You know what God wants you to do. Some of you out here and you're lost. You may be sitting in this room. And you're lost. You don't know. You know Christ as your Savior. You're going to hell. If you die right now, you split hell with them. You don't stand a chance. Do you realize you never could be good enough to get into heaven on your own? There is nobody. Nobody. Not the Pope. Not Mary. Not the priest. Not your grandmother. I don't care how sweet they are. They're sinners. They're sinners. They need Jesus. The only Savior of the world. The only name that will get you through the gates of heaven. The only place you can go to get your sins forgiven is Jesus. It's not the temple. It's not some great evangelist like Jonah. It's not some wise man like Solomon. It's Jesus. A greater than the temple is here. A greater than Solomon is here. He's even greater than Jonah. He's above all. You know, what is faith? Taking God at His word. You're not smarter than God. You don't know about your life better than God. I don't know how many of you had the same experience as I had, but I grew up having fun. I'm still having fun. I've been having fun most of my life. I have a happy-go-lucky attitude. I'm sorry if that offends you. If you want to go around and moat and cry all the time, it's okay, but I'm not there. I have never been there in my life. When I thought about turning my life over to Jesus Christ, I thought He was going to take all the fun out of my life. Anybody? Anybody? You think that? Oh, yeah. I've had more fun since I became a Christian. I have had more sweet fellowship. I have laughed and praised and jumped and leaped and thought and... Wow.
Yeah.
Why didn't I come sooner? Another thing. I don't know that I'm the best example, but every time I have trusted God's Word on any situation, it's been the right way to go.
Amen.
Now, some of you don't even read the Bible very much. You're not interested in what's right. You're a Christian. You want to go to heaven. And you come to church and you listen. You put up with us preachers. But you're not really looking to see what God says about your situation.
Amen.
You really ought to be.
Amen.
It's the best way. Follow God's example, you'll get a good marriage. Follow God's example, you'll get some children some discipline. They'll learn to control themselves.
Yeah.
I know today, don't even tell them no. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You can't spank them because that's just vicious and wild. No, it's not.
Right.
How do you think God controls you? How did He get Jonah to do what He wanted him to do? He put him in the belly of a whale for 3 days and three nights. Jonah said, well, anything's better than this. Okay, God, I'll go. I don't like to go, but I'll go. God brings tribulation into our lives. He brings trouble to us. He brings these things that hurt us so that we'll turn to Him. So that we'll repent of our ways. So we'll quit doing stupid things. Amen, on me? Well, what about you? Personally, you. You born-again Christian, you've been saved 30 years. What does God want you to do? Thank God He's not preparing fishes for you. Amen?
Amen.
I wouldn't want what Jonah went through. I don't want what Job went through. No, I am very happy to be in this bubble called America. I think it's a great mercy, a great blessing. Why don't you just take God at His Word? I'm talking about living your life every day. You say, well, no, I can't do that because. Oh, yes, you can. Jonah said, I don't want to do that because. God said, but that's what I want you to do. What does God want you to do? I've heard of people fighting the call to preach the gospel or fighting the call to go to the mission field or fighting whatever. We are all like Jonah, maybe not as strong-willed. That was one stubborn man. And he's a man of God. But whoa, I look at that mind and he's at the end of this thing and coming. They've got this great revival that's taking place and he's sitting over there mad. And God said, what are you mad for? You don't have a right to be mad. Yes, I do. I'm still mad. I don't know what happened to him. You know, I wonder about the rest of his life and all things. What an attitude. Some of you are just about that way. Amen?
Amen.
R-O-E. You're just about that way. You don't care what God says. You don't care what the Bible says. You're like the modernist that says, oh, that's an outdated book and we shouldn't follow it. You know, we don't do things that way anymore. You're stupid. Excuse me?
Amen.
I know that's a dirty word in Spanish, but you are stupid in English, okay? It's not a dirty word in English. It's a good word. Good word. Why don't you let God have His way? I don't know what it is today. I have no doubt in my mind that many of you sitting here have a controversy with God. Right now, you've got something that God says, you say, I don't want it. God says, this is what you need. This is where you ought to go. Why don't you follow me? Why don't you listen to me? And you're saying, no, no, no. And you're about to take a trip to Joppa. Get on a boat. Go to Tarshish. Get thrown in the wave, ocean's waves. Get swallowed by a great big whale that God's prepared for you. No, you're probably not going to get that experience. But you're going to get one similar. God wants you to obey Him and His Word. He wants you to put His Word above. What is number one for you? I asked that a while ago. And I want you to bring it into your mind. What is it you follow? What Word is important to you? Who will you pay attention to? Will you pay attention to the Word of God? How about Jesus? How about Paul? How about James? And how about Peter? Would you listen to them? It's not that outdated. This book I'm preaching from and that we come around here, oh yeah, it's an old book. Bless your heart. It's got old stories, greatest stories in the world. But they're old stories. But you know what it is? It's the Word of the living God and it's to tell you how to live.
Amen.
Why don't you trust God? Trust Him with your marriage. Some of you got a marriage in trouble. Because you're not doing it right. Boy, I didn't get an amen on that. Amen, Brother Lindell. That's good preaching. Whether you like it or not. Why don't you let God have His way? Do you still think you're smarter? I know as teenagers, I was smarter than my dad. I had one of the wisest dads in the world. I look back on him to now in awe. He was a good man, and he did his best for me, and I thank the Lord for him. But I thought I was smarter than him at 17. And my daddy would say, oh, I wish I could put a 40-year-old head in that 17-year-old body. You ever thought that about your kids? God would like to put a head in you that would say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Who's greater? Who's great? Who can you follow? Dr. Spock? Come on. Some of these idiots out there, by the way, and all these healers we got, we still got the same ratio, one life, one death. No matter all the healers, no matter all the doctors, no matter all the new drugs and everything we come up with, we still got one life, one death. Nobody's changed that percentage. And let me tell you something else. We are all headed for a judgment. And we're going to stand there with the men of Nineveh. And we're going to stand there with the Queen of Sheba. We're going to stand there with the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of those people that gave up their life and martyred them. We're going to be standing with them. How are you going to look? If you're here not saved, let me tell you something for sure. America gives the gospel in so many different ways. You don't have a leg to stand on.
Yes.
There are hard people like me,
live with one book. There are guys that will let you have 15 Bibles in the pulpit at the same time. They tell you, come to Jesus. There's people that they're jumping in there happy, and boy, they're just throwing things like this, and they're shouting, and they're still preaching about Jesus. And you got some real holy people, and they're preaching about Jesus. And you can buy this book in a corner store. You can buy it in HEB. You can buy it in almost any drugstore, in almost any town. That book's been written and published more than any other book ever in the history of mankind, and it was the first one on a movable press. Why don't you let God have His way? Why don't you be like the king of Nineveh? Wicked place is what the Bible says about it. Wicked place. He said, cry out to God earnestly, strongly, with all you got, peradventure, perhaps God will have mercy.
Amen.
And God did. Why don't you cry a little bit? Why don't you let God have His way? If you're not saved, Jesus is the only one that can save you.
Amen.
Nobody, no pope, no priest, no rabbi, no mother can forgive your sins. There's only one. That's Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
One mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Why don't you call on the only one that counts? And I say that to my Christian friends too.
Amen.
Some of you got a controversy with God in your heart and you have not turned it over to God yet. And you're miserable. You are miserable. You know there's something you should do and God wants you to do, and you are just being like Jonah. Stubborn. No, God, I don't want to go there. Why don't you just turn it over and surrender today? Let Him have your life. What of my life I've given to God has been the best part of my life.
Amen.
He will be for you. Let's turn to number 242. Make Jesus Lord of your life. Why don't you repent and come to Him? Let Him have His way. One greater than the temple, one greater than Jonah, one greater than Solomon. He is above all. He came from above. Let's sing it out. When you come, when you come, when you come, come on, make a decision. Seek the Lord today. Will you come? Surrender.